Welcome to the Park Avenue Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located on 2285 East Park Avenue, Valdosta, Georgia. You can also find us online at parkavchurch.net. parkavechurch.net. My name is Marlon, and I am the pastor of the church. And you can find a blog post on this message on my blog, PastorMarlon.com, PRMARLON.COM. This message was recorded on April 29, 2017, and is entitled Speaking of Love. In this message, we will be taking a closer look at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. So I hope you get your Bibles and follow along. This is our first attempt at a live recording of our message, and we hope to hear back from you. If this ministry is a blessing to you, please let us know. If you have any suggestions of how we could improve, we would love to hear them. I believe I have said enough, and now the message, recorded live at our church. To John chapter 15. We've been there for about a month. One chapter of the Bible. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. And as you find John chapter 15, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we're opening our Bibles. We're going to read it. But we do not want to do that without first asking for your Holy Spirit to guide us. Lord, may your words come alive and speak into our hearts and transform us. Just like the children's story, Lord, may our hearts be soft to your touch. Allow you, Lord, to come, that we may allow you to come into our hearts and bring about the changes that you would have us experience. So bless us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15. You know, in seminary, I had a class in the New Testament, and there was a professor teaching on John, and I thought, I want to take that class. And I took the class, and we spent the whole semester studying John. And we covered maybe five chapters. Because there's so much. And I'm going to have to stop here because, you know, the next two Sabbaths I won't be preaching. Then we're going to be doing something different. But I would like to encourage you, if you've been, you know, enjoying our series on John chapter 15, maybe over this week you can go back and read chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. These are some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Now, it's very challenging. John is not an easy book. You're not going to understand everything that you read. I just ask that you read and try to apply the parts that you do understand. Just start there, and there will be blessings. And when we talk about reading the Bible, you know, I was listening to a sermon from a friend. We were in seminary together. I was getting my master's. He was getting his PhD. I graduated. He graduated, I think, a semester later. He didn't graduate. He finished his classes. Then he finished his doctorate. He defended his thesis. And it's going to be published. It hasn't been yet. But he's now teaching in Brazil, a professor of theology. A little bit older than I am. Very bright man. And I was listening to his sermon. He said something that made a lot of sense. And I was so happy. I had already finished my sermon by that point. This was last night. And he just encouraged me. Because he was speaking to a group of Christians from all different denominations. And he was saying, isn't it interesting that we all call ourselves Christians? Including the famous Brazilian soccer player, right, Neymar. He calls himself a Christian. I think it says God loves you in his soccer cleats or something like that. No, his lifestyle is something completely different, but we all claim to be Christians. And he says the one thing we all have in common as Christians is that we don't read our Bibles as much as we should. And then that's where he started. He says if we could all just read the Bible a little bit more, we'd agree a lot more on what we believe. Because you find out that so much of what we believe, what we think we believe, is just our culture. It's our habits. It's not even in the Bible. If we could just focus on the Bible, we'd get along a lot better. And my friends, I hope that our church can be one of those places that people can come and know that if I go there, they study the Bible. And then we will pray, we will read God's word, and I'm sure if we do that, all the other things will fall into place. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me. Please follow along. I know you trust me, but I want you guys to have the habit of holding your preacher accountable. If somebody's preaching, I want you following right along in the Bible. Make sure whatever's being preached is also, you know, written in the Word of God. So John chapter 15, we're going to pick it up with verse 9 because we just spent about 4 weeks talking about verses 1 through 8. And I think we got a good handle on that. And now we're going to move on to verse 9. We've been talking about what? Mostly we've been talking about abiding, right? Remaining, staying. And what does that look like? And about bearing fruit. And what does that look like? And now we're going to look at what does abiding look like in a practical sense. And Jesus himself explains that. Let me see if I... Aha. It works better after you turn it on. There we go. So follow along. The slides are really simple. It's just to let you know where I am. John chapter 15, verse 9. Jesus here is speaking. He's saying, as the Father what? Loved me. I also love you. So we're going to stop here real quick. And this is the thing. You know, sometimes we're so focused on reading the Bible in the year, right? We're going to finish the whole Bible in 1 year. And that's good. I've done that. It's work. But there's also something that's very important is to spend the whole year reading the Bible, where you slow down a little bit and say, let me chew on this before moving on to the next verse. So Jesus just said here, as the Father has what? Loved me, I have also. So the love that Jesus has for us, he's expressing towards us the same love that he experiences with the Father. The same love that the Godhead experiences. God, from God to God, you know, these perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing beings. The way that God loves, he extends it to us. And we are infinitely smaller, less capable, flawed, and limited in every way. We're rebellious, and God extends to us the same level, the same quality of love. He doesn't say, well, you guys are human after all. I'm going to give you just 2% of, you know, the divine love. No, he says the same love. I'm extending it to you just as if you were perfect. Just as if you had never fallen. Jesus says, I'm going to go ahead and just extend this love to you. And then he invites us. Because the verse doesn't stop there. He says, please abide. Where? In my love. Amen. You know, we just spent all these 8 verses talking about abiding me, abiding me. We're like, I'm not sure. How do we do that? You're not here. We can't see you. Just says, okay, look at it a different way. Abide in my love. The same level of love that the Father has for me, I'm extending it to you. It's available. It's a gift. Are you interested in staying, in remaining in this love that I have made available to you? Can you imagine reaching someone with the gospel? You're going to share Jesus. And the first thing you say is Jesus loves you with a love that you will never understand. And he invites you to live, to abide, to stay, to remain in this love. You know, the idea of remaining, of abiding, of belonging somewhere, of having a place. I mean, how many of us here have moved from somewhere? I mean, I moved just recently, but I'm sure I'm not the only one here, right? Some of us have been abroad. I know a lot of people here with a military background. I mean, you've moved from place to place to place. Some of us were born in a different country. We talk a little bit differently. And it's so nice to have an invitation to remain, to stay, to abide, to say, you belong here. This is for you. And Jesus is saying, my love, it's for you. Do you want to stay? Just make this your home. Make this your life. Just stay in my love, which is the same love that the Father has for me. This is amazing. This is God's love. And if we can just start our Bible study, our testimony, when we share with somebody, can we please start here? Can we please start with God's love? And then just let that develop into what it is, the amazing thing that it is. But start with just God loves you, and He invites you to abide in His love. So far, so good. So far, it makes sense. But then comes verse 10. And in too many churches, they will preach the whole sermon on verse 9. And I love verse 9. I think we should all start there. But the same way that Jesus didn't stay on verse 9, there's a little bit more to this. And this is where it kind of gets tricky. And if Jesus said it, right, we ought to wrestle with this. Let's figure out what's Jesus saying here. Because on verse 10, he says, if you what? Keep my commandments. If you obey my commandments, you will abide in my love. So notice he tells us, abide in my love. And this is what the Father has for me. I make it available to you. Abide in my love. Well, how do I abide in your love? I'm like, okay, let me explain this to you. And this is odd, isn't it? You can't talk about love and commandments in the same sentence. You can't talk about these two in the same sermon. It's a different sermon, Pastor. So many want to say that Jesus didn't talk about this. But it's right there. If. Conditional. That means we have a choice. We can do it, we cannot do it. But if you do it, if you keep my commandments, the next part is not conditional. For sure, the second part will take place. If you keep my commandments, you will remain, abide, stay in my love. Well, Jesus, this may sound kind of harsh, right? Slow down, Jesus. What's this talk of commandments? Can I just do my own thing? You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I appreciate the love. I like the love. The commandment things, it kind of cramps my style a little bit, you know? I'm not sure. Can we have a little conversation about this? But really, the conversation should be, if Jesus was willing to die for you, if Jesus is willing to extend to you the love that the Father extends to Him, is it all right for Him to ask for something? Is that okay? If your child lives under your roof, and you feed and provide and clothe that child, is it okay for you to have some rules in the house? Is it okay for you to require a child to eat their vegetables? To have a bedtime? To clean up their room? I mean, this is okay, right? I mean, it's okay for there to be a relationship. Because we do talk about Jesus being our Savior, but we also talk about Him being our Lord. Lord and Savior. We can't say just, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. But as far as Lord goes, I got this. You know? And to be honest, my track record with choices, not always the best. I've made some good ones. I mean, when I chose to be baptized, that was a good choice. When I chose to marry my wife, great choice, right? I mean, I've made some good choices. I've made some terrible choices. But when I look at God's guidelines, every time I chose those, always worked out great. Amen. No, I'm not saying it was always easy. I'm saying in the long run, looking back, I've always been glad that I chose to go according to Jesus' commands. Now notice that Jesus does not ask us to do something that He was not willing to do. Because on verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. We talked about that. The next part, just as what? I have obeyed, or I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in His love. Jesus is saying, could you just live your life the way that I live my life here as a human being? He's not asking us to do something impossible. He's not asking us to do any more than what He was willing to do. Now, here's the thing. Let me ask you real quick. Did you get a choice of where you're going to be born? Of when you're going to be born? Didn't have much say on that, right? Did Jesus choose to come here? Yeah. Not the nicest neighborhood in the universe. You know, as far as the story goes, even before he came, he knew that there is some disease, there is some violence, there is some bullying, there is some pain, suffering. He chose to be born in this world. We didn't make that choice. And the only reason he chose to go through all that is that we could have a choice to live eternally. Still a choice, but now it's available to us because of what Jesus did. And if he had not obeyed the commandments of the Father, you know what happens when you don't obey the commandments of God? You know what that's called? There's a word for it in the Bible. It starts with an S. Whenever you break God's law, it's sin. Paul is very clear. If there was no law, I would know what sin is. Kind of like if there's no speed limit, can't really break it, right? First thing the cop does when he pulls you over, you know how fast you're going. You realize how fast, you know, the speed limit. You know that the law is there, and then you know when you're breaking it or not. Jesus kept the Father's law. Amen. As a human being, living with a body just like ours that gets hungry, that gets tired, that gets headaches, that has to walk, that has to sleep. He kept the Father's law. I know that because when he died, Satan had nothing on him. The grave could not hold him. Amen. Came back to life because never sinned. The Bible is clear on that. I have a blog post that's going to be up. You're going to have all the Bible verses that talk about this. I don't want to take you there because it's just going to take longer, but it's on the post. If you want to see, the Bible mentions Jesus lived just like one of us. He lived without sin. He died. He rose again. Now he's inviting us. Same thing. Just abide in the love. Jesus abided in the Father's love the whole time. Kept the Father's law. Didn't keep the human laws necessarily. When people try to add on to God's laws, sometimes we do the same thing. Don't tell anybody. We add on to the God's commands. But Jesus, he broke the extra stuff. On the Sabbath, he would go out there and he would heal people. On the Sabbath, it was okay for him to feed somebody. On the Sabbath, it was okay for him to do good things, but he kept the Sabbath. And Jesus said, can you guys just keep my law the same way I keep the Father's law? And as you read on, you find out really the Father's law and Jesus' law, it's all the same thing. Jesus is not changing anything, because if he could have changed the law, he didn't have to die, right? Because you're showing up, okay guys, sorry, you know, we had this law in place. Turns out it's kind of restrictive and hard. We're just going to change it and everything is okay. He had to come and die. We talked about this a while back. Because the law said if you sin, you have to die. From the very beginning, if you eat the fruit, you have to die. The wages of sin is death. But there is this gift of God, eternal life. Pastor, how can it be a gift if now he's asking us to obey his commandments? It's a good question, isn't it? Maybe we don't talk about it as Adventists because it makes us uncomfortable. How can salvation be a gift? Jesus just said, keep my commandments if you want to be my friends. Think about it this way. Let's think back to the Exodus. Israel has been in Egypt for generations. Hundreds of years they've been there. No rest, no break. Moses comes to take them out of there. God delivers them. Has God given them 10 commandments yet? Not yet. It comes in chapter 20, right? He delivers them, brings them out, saves them. Imagine yourself there. I'm here. My God comes, saves me from slavery, takes me to freedom, promises me a new place to live. I'm so excited. I want to know, Lord, how can I stay in this relationship with you? How can I make sure I don't go back to bondage? How can I make you happy? I love you. How do I show my love to God? I don't know. It's interesting. Love is experienced differently in different cultures, right? Depending on where you are, people behave. They show their affection in different ways. How do I show my affection to God? How do I show my love to God? God says, okay, here is a transcript of my character, the way that I run things, the way that I believe life should be lived. Here's these 10 guidelines. Ah, thank you. And they praise God for that. Because it was not, do this and I will save you. Do this and I will love you. Do this and I will owe you one. No. I imagine myself, Lord, how can I show my love for you? He says, well, if you live this way, life is going to be so much better. Salvation already came. They're already delivered. I'm saved because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and he gives me that freedom, that life. Now I choose to follow, to abide, to stay. Because to reject his will, his commandments, his plan, his guidelines, is to reject his lordship over me. Is to reject him as God and to say, I'd rather be my own God. Following the commandments of God is a way of abiding in his love, in his will, in this relationship. It's not purchasing your salvation. It's demonstrating your love. The Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, the commandments of Jesus can be a burden if you look at it backwards, if you put that before the love. If you put that before of what God is willing to do for us. But if you put it in its right place, where God comes and he saves you and he hugs you and he transforms you, and then he invites you, hey, stay in this relationship. Don't you fall in love with someone first before you get married, hopefully? And then after you get married, aren't there certain guidelines for you to stay married? Right? Well, let me go on, and then we're going to talk about this some more as we continue through these verses. Verse 11. Jesus, in case people are getting, you know, confused or not sure what's he talking about commandments here for. Verse 11. These things I have what? Spoken to you. For what purpose? For what reason? Why is Jesus even talking about this? He's doing this that my joy may what? Let's stop there real quick. He's asking us to remain in his love. He's telling us we remain in his love by listening to his commandments. And then he's saying, I'm telling you about my commandments that you may what? Have joy. And that this joy, is it going to be a fleeting joy, just momentary? Stay, full joy. Let's keep going here real quick. You're going to be not only staying in this joy, but that your joy may be full, complete, as much as it can be. Amen. Have you ever thought about the commandments like that, this relationship with Jesus? Why do you do this? Because it gives me joy. It allows me to experience the joy that God brings. It fills my joy to the fullest. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's worth it. Amen. Because even if I'm struggling, I got the joy in my heart. And I can smile as things are... And if there's one thing that non-Christians don't get, is how come you Christians are smiling all the time? Look at everything that's going on. This Friday morning, I was there at the courthouse. As I've mentioned before, I'm one of the volunteer chaplains with the police department. They called all the chaplains together and they said, guys, there's a anti-Trump rally and there's a pro-Trump rally at the same time, at the same place, just across the street from each other. We need you guys to show up and walk around and talk with people, thank them for coming, listen to them. We're going to have some water for you to pass out, talk to the police, talk to the demonstrators, and make sure things don't escalate. I was kind of scared. I said, Lord, you know, just be with us. And I went, and there was a group of us from all different churches, and we were there ministering to the police, ministering to the people, making sure nobody's getting agitated, making sure things don't... And I praise the Lord, everything went well. My friends, there is something about serving Jesus and being able to be in a difficult situation and talk about peace and joy. And some people are angry. How can you talk about peace? How can you get... Look at the president that we have. Other people say, the president is great. Look at these people and the problem they're causing. And how do you do it with both sides? There's always something to make you upset. How can you smile? How can you talk about peace? How can you move forward? There is a joy that comes from Jesus. Amen. It doesn't make any sense. It surpasses all understanding. But boy, is it good to experience that. because he makes it available to us. And that's why he even bothers to teach us. I'm teaching you these things. I want you to experience joy. Sometimes we come to church and we don't experience joy. But if you would just take time to read this book, find out some of these guidelines, start changing, you know, inviting God into your heart, let him make some changes, and then you start to experience something, you just can't describe it. It's kind of like coming to a prayer meeting, and something happens, and you can't put it to words, but I want to come back next week and experience this again. There's some mysteries to our walk with God, but Jesus is giving us something to base it off of. You know, we don't understand everything, but there's enough that we can understand. So let's keep going here to verse 12. This is my commandment. Here it comes. Get ready. That you what? Love one another. How? Don't you love this? Jesus is saying, hey, I'm making available to you everything that's been made available to me. The love of the Father. Later on, we're going to talk about power and different things. But I'm just asking you to also do the same thing that I do. I'm extending to you the love that the Father has for me. I ask you, can you please keep my commandments the same way I kept the Father's commandments? I'm extending this joy to you that your joy may be full. And by the way, can you love one another the same way that I loved you? Because let me tell you this. If you memorize all 10 commandments, if you're familiar with all the laws and guidelines found throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, and then when Jesus goes and takes it a step further, right? For example, in the Old Testament, it says you should not commit adultery. Jesus comes along and says you should not even be lusting after somebody that's not your spouse. If we put all of this together and we miss the love, we've just missed the whole point. We've turned the law into a burden. We've become just like the Pharisees in Jesus' time. Our role as Christians, as we study the Bible, is to have the things in the right perspective, in the right order, the right approach. Once again, familiarizing ourselves with this book. Because some Christians try to fix the problem the Pharisees had. They throw out the law. And now we're lost. Because what do I do? Which way direction do I go? How do I please God? How do I don't know. Because you realize if you throw out the law, that's the first 5 books of the Bible. That's the grounding for everything. The law is not just the rules. The law is their history. The beginning, the books of Moses, that's what they refer to as the law. This is how we understand everything else. But it has to be in its right place. And the right place is make sure you love one another. You're not fit to interpret the law. You're not fit to teach the law. You're not fit to talk about Jesus if you haven't learned to love your neighbor. How can I invite somebody to my church if my church hasn't even learned to love? How can my neighbor believe in Jesus if I can't be loving towards him? All that theology and the prophecies and the dates and the numbers and the charts, we're pretty good with that stuff. But if you're missing the love, all that information is not going to make a difference in somebody's life. Because ultimately, it's not our theology that saves us. It's not how bright we are. It's not how good we are at memorizing things. It's that relationship with God. And a pretty good sign you're in that relationship, you're abiding, is that that love is in you and it's overflowing to those around you. A sign that you love God with all your heart is when you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. My friend, the love here is not replacing the law. The love here is the proper way, the only way to understand the law. That's why Jesus just mentions this one here. I mean, as you continue to study, you're going to see he has all kinds of teachings. But here he's saying, if you can love one another, you're on the right track. And then what the disciples were wrestling with at the time, they really needed this. There's some divisions. They're not really getting along. It says, can you guys love one another? And there is more. He's saying the same way that I loved you, right? Let's see what that looks like on verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to do what? Lay down one's life. For whom? Yeah, he went there. You know, sometimes it's hard enough just to give a hug to somebody that you don't like. He's saying, are you willing to die for your neighbor? My friends, there are people that I love to see in church. And as we continue our ministry here, I'm, you know, looking ahead. I'd love to see some people walking in here that don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't talk like us. And for us to be able to look at that person and say, I want that person to know Jesus. I want that person to be saved. I love this person, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Just want to love them because I want them to be saved. Man, that's the loudest gospel you could ever preach. And then if people come in here and they are loved, suddenly they want to know the Savior. And Jesus says, the love has to be at the level that I'm willing to die for this person. Yeah, they messed up. They made some bad choices. They may have even offended you. Do you want them to be saved? Do you want them to spend eternity with God? Do you want them to experience joy in their life? Do we realize sometimes the people that are hardest to love are the ones that need it the most? It's hard to talk about this. Pastor, that's legalism. Really? Loving others? Doing what Jesus called us to do? It's not legalism. It's called abiding in God. Amen. Allowing Him to come into your heart, because we can't do it on our own. And I'm not doing it to be saved. I can only do it if I have been saved. I can only do it with Jesus in my heart. Our focus should be on making sure you're getting to know Jesus, make sure you're inviting Him to your heart, and make sure you're not standing in the way as He's changing some things in your heart. And a way to measure that is when you notice yourself caring a little bit more about someone you never cared at all about. And my friends, sometimes we see those commercials, right, on TV. We hear the touching mission story. Like, man, if I could do something for that person. But I can't, so you go on with life as usual. So here's the thing. I'm not talking about loving those people really far away, halfway across the world, different cultures. They need our love. They need our support. It's good to support them when we can. But I want you to experience that love right now, in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood. There is somebody that needs to be loved. There is a cousin, there is a grandchild, there is a daughter or a son, a nephew. There is somebody that needs to be loved. Maybe they wandered away. Maybe they're not really interested in Jesus at the moment. They need to be loved. And the love that you show will open a way for them to know Jesus. It's about bearing fruit, just like we talked about last week. And it's about living a certain way, but you're not going to be ready to listen to that. And until the love is in place. And Jesus loved so much, He was willing to give His life. Are we willing to give our time? Are we willing to go through some discomfort to minister to somebody that's around us right now? I know I have a cousin who's struggling through some things. And even though that cousin is not close enough, I try to call and I try to pray and I try to reach out. And I'm here for you. You may not be ready to come to church. You may not be ready for a Bible study. I just want to make myself available. Can we try? If they reject us their whole life, at least I want to stand before God and say, Lord, I tried my whole life. I loved. I mean, even one of the disciples betrayed Jesus, right? You can't win everybody. But can we love them and not stop loving them regardless of how they react to our love? It's hard. It's a challenge. But it's a sign of that abiding that we've been talking about. Amen. It's a challenge. But that challenge should draw us closer to Jesus and humble us. never making us proud. Our knowledge of God, our understanding, our lifestyle should never make us feel superior. You should always humble us to our need of God to show this love towards others. How do we become friends of Jesus? He just talked about that the greater love has no man than the one to lay down his life for his friends. Okay, he laid down his life. How do we become his friends? Verse 14, you are my friends, once again, if, that conditional. You are my friends if? Man, I thought we were done talking about commandments. I thought we were done talking about the law. How does Jesus do this? This relationship that we struggle with so much. He doesn't let us get away from it. He doesn't just mention it once and let it go. Love, abiding, joy, commandments. Love, abiding, joy, commandments. It's all together. Can't separate them. And if we could just understand them in the right relationship, if we just read our Bibles, it's right there. The challenge is, how do we apply it? And that's the best challenge. Our challenge together should be, how do I apply what I have been learning? Our challenge as Christians should always be, so how do I live this? Let's spend our lives discussing that question. How do I live this? Sure, there are some things we may not understand yet. Let's just live the parts that we do understand. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus has done his part. He invites us into that relationship. He died. He just talked about that the previous verse. I am willing to die for you. Now we know he died for us. Are we willing to do whatever he calls us to do? He's only offering us eternal life. Perfect life. I mean, we do so much for our employers, and so often they're unfair. They mistreat us. They abuse us. We go above and beyond, and we don't get rewarded accordingly. It's tough, but we give them so much. And God, who offers us eternal life, health, wisdom, family, love, everything that we need, he's like, I'm willing to give it to you. And sometimes we offer him the leftovers. Let's think about that. He's giving us so much. And he says, can you just do what I'm asking you to do? Is it okay for me to ask for something out of you since I've given you so much? And parents can totally relate to that. My child, is it okay for me to require a little bit of love here? A little bit of understanding and patience? You have no idea how much I've done for you. I had no idea how much my parents had done for me until I had kids. And Jesus, who has done so much for us, is it okay for him to ask us for a few things? To have some guidelines, to have some commandments? Is that all right? The law, the commandments, in the right context, a blessing from God, a way for us, a guideline for us to abide with him and in him. And it gets better. Because if you read verse 14 by itself, you feel like it doesn't feel like a good relationship. I do whatever you tell me. This doesn't feel, it feels more like I'm a servant. And verse 15 addresses that. No longer do I call you servants. But you just ask me to do whatever you ask me to do. Yeah, wait. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. Doesn't know about the business. You just do what I tell you and that's it. Don't ask questions. I say jump, you ask me how high. You guys are familiar with that. Right? Jesus doesn't work that way. He's like, hey, it's not like that. I'm not just telling you what to do and leave you in the dark. He says, I'm calling you friends. But I have called you friends for all things that I heard from, I have made known to you. Jesus is saying, I'm only asking you to do what I've done. Obey because I obeyed. Love because I loved. You know, all these things. He's saying, even what I learned from God, I'm teaching you. So we can be on the same standing. Jesus is raising us up to his status, something that we don't deserve. As sinners, as rebellious, as limited, small, tiny human beings on the speck in the universe, Jesus is raising us to the title of children of God. I'm not calling you servants. I let you guys know the whole plan. I even told you what's going to happen in the future. By the way, spoiler alert, Jesus is coming back with eternal life and all kinds of amazing things for us. He told us the plan. He told us how to get there. He's giving it to us. He's just saying, can you stay in this relationship? Can you abide in my love that your joy may be full? Verse 16, and we're almost done here. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Not only that, I appointed you for what purpose? Bear fruit. Just like we talked about last week, it's all connected. Jesus doesn't want us to just passively, you know, come, I'm just going to come and receive love, receive wisdom, receive forgiveness, and this is great. And if I stop receiving what I think I should be receiving, I'm going to go somewhere else. If I come to church and people don't treat me the way I want to be treated, I'm going to go somewhere else. Have you heard that before? Maybe never in this church, right? I've heard people saying, Pastor, you know, the reason why I stopped going to church, because I went and nobody smiled at me. It's like, really? Did you smile at anybody else? Pastor, you know, I don't like that church because nobody shakes hands with me. Do you shake hands with somebody else? Do we come here to minister to somebody? Is it okay for me to come to church willing to minister to somebody who maybe had it rougher than I did this week? Can I come here to serve somebody else? Is that okay? Jesus is saying, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to be doing something. I want you to be making a difference. I don't want to be in a relationship where nothing changes. I want you to bear much fruit. Not only that, that your fruit should remain. I just don't want you to be more loving just doing a week of prayer. And by the way, we had a great week of prayer with the school. Ah, man, I had a blast with the kids. They were interacting. They were talking with any of our students from our school, asking about the week of prayer. They'll tell you all about it. We had a great time. So he's saying it's not just supposed to be a high. Oh, man, over the weekend, I feel so close to God. And I'm so loving. And I'm so nice. And then by Monday, it's all gone. No. That you bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And it gets better. Because here's the power I was talking about. And whatever you ask whom? The Father. How? My friends, whenever we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in order to bear fruit for his kingdom, Jesus just promised us it will be done. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Power from Jesus, from God, to us, to do great things. And of course, we close with the heart of the message. Jesus goes back to it. In case all that talk of law and all these different things, in case you lost sight of the main point I want you to take home today, Jesus repeats it. Let's read it together. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen.